Malawi. That's where I was able to go this summer. And I was actually able to go last summer as well. And hopefully through the presentation, it'll all make sense. What in the world was he doing over there? What's Malawi got to do with the price of tea in America? Here's where Malawi is, except that's green. That's all right, though. America's way over here. Here's Africa. Malawi is all the way down in the southeast part of the continent of Africa. Now, here's a little fact that a lot of people don't know, that if these continents were actually made in their actual size and not like Americans like to think of ourselves, Africa would be about, what is it, like three times bigger than the continent of North America. It's huge. So typically what you'll do is you'll either fly out of Ontario, Canada, or New York City. This time I flew out of New York. Last year was Ontario. And you fly 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 and you fly. You may go to Ethiopia or you may go to South Africa and then you go to Malawi. Now, a little bit better. Some places that you're probably familiar with that are on this map, Madagascar from the cartoon movie. What was the name of it? I already forgot. Madagascar. And then Tanzania is like the safari capital of the world. They've got big cats. They've got giraffes. They've got the rhinos. They've got the zebras. They've got it all. They also have, little factoid, Mount Kilimanjaro. You might have heard of that. And this is Serengeti and all of that. And then, so there's Malawi. And then there's this, if you'll allow me to use the phrase of my friend Dale, it's the armpit of Africa, Mozambique. It is just, it's ran by warlords, it's drugs, it's bad people. You don't even, it's not even worth going there. And then other places you might have heard of, Rwanda, Kenya, but there's Malawi, and then that is Lake Malawi. I learned this on Jeopardy just the other day, that this area, so there's Lake Malawi, there's some other lakes around there. Guess what they call that in Africa? The Great Lakes area, just like in America. So, what on earth brought me, got me over to this tiny little nothing place. By the way, it's the poorest country in the world, literally. I've Googled it several times just to make sure that it hasn't changed. It has not. It is the poorest country in the world. This is who brought me over there to that country. This is the Kastner family. Leanne, she's the sweet one. She is almost as good a cook as Gretchen. And there's a dessert that she makes that will blow your mind. I've literally made myself sick of it finally. Gretchen will be like, good, I don't have to get any more heavy cream. Sweet little Alyssa, she and Sarah are about the same age, a couple of months apart. And that is American Gothic Dale right there. That is him all the time. We were in Bible college with this family. And what happened was, the family that was in Malawi, they're in the south. The capital city is called Lilongwe. There's only two big cities, Lilongwe and Blantyre. Capital is Lilongwe. The family that was over there was getting older. Their health was getting bad. It was time to retire and come back to America where they could get the health care and the medicines that they needed. One of our instructors at Bible college would go over each year and help that family. And when they said they were retiring, Wayne said, I've got the perfect family to replace you. They want to do mission work and they will absolutely do a wonderful job. And so, the Kastners jumped through all the hoops. They went through all the interviews. They did everything and they got the position. and they have just been absolutely doing a phenomenal job. I left my list at home of all the things that they're doing. This one fact. Malawi, let me see if I can go back. Numbers lock. Page up. Okay. One more page up. Malawi, I don't know where the equator is. Somewhere like right through here. They're obviously south of the equator. So it's summertime here, right? Well, guess what it is there? It's wintertime. Love going to Malawi in the wintertime because that means for 2 weeks I'm not in July heat of Kentucky. But the thing is, we'll come to this slide in a second. The thing is, when it's summertime, it's the rainy season over there. So our winter, their summer, it's the rainy season, and you can't get anything outside done. Because when they say rain, they mean rain. So it's during the wintertime that Dale and his family are doing stuff like translating American tracts into Chichewa. Chichewa is the language of Malawi. They're translating tracts. They are visiting villages that they can visit and taking supplies. The biggest produce, the biggest food that they eat is maize. That's corn. It's got very, 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 very minimal nutritional value. And what they do is they grind it up into this powder, and then they roll it up into this doughy thing, and then they boil it. I finally got to have some. I loved it. And then they salt the living daylights out of it. Basically what this stuff is, it's their version of grits. If you've had grits, you know that grits, they're pointless. You've got to add everything in the world to them to make them taste like something, which is what they do with this. I cannot remember the name of the food. I cannot remember what they call this thing, but it's corn. They grind it all up, and then they turn it into this dough thing. They boil it, and then they salt the daylights out of it, and they may wrap it in some veggies, like leaves of something. They also have it with rice. And they've had American food, and they're like, well, this is all right. You know, steak and biscuits and gravy and Doritos, but it sure ain't no, the maize food that we love so much. The Kashners will do all sorts of different things during the winter months, or during the summer months, because it's raining. Then comes the non-rainy season, their version of winter. It is the perfect weather for me. Think of that time of year between summer and fall in America. That's what I get to go enjoy. And what they do during the summer is called the Mobile Bible School. And that's what I went over there to be a part of. What happens is they pick 5 villages. They have a translator they've used for I don't know, 15, 20 years. His name is Isaac. And Isaac knows everyone. He knows these villages. He knows where we need to go. So Isaac picks the villages. Now, there's a lot of cultural differences between America and Malawi. One big one, jealousy. If I go to, okay, so let's say that you guys are one village and I go to your village this year, okay, and I also go to your village this year. And next year, guess what I do? I go back to their village, but I don't go to yours. Jealousy runs rampant over there. And it's always about power. So, Isaac is the translator. He has a son named, it's not Ezekiel, it's not Isaiah, but one of his sons is also a very good translator, and he does all the tracts from English into Chichewa. And so Isaac, the father, who's been doing this forever, he picks the villages they're going to visit. Sometimes it will be two in a row, but they don't tell the others. And sometimes it'll be all new. Let's see. So what we're doing is the mobile Bible school is what they call it. And that's what it is. It's Bible. Think of Wednesday night, except you're going to a different place. Monday, Tuesday, you're off. So Monday, Tuesday, you're off. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And you're going to a different location each of those days. Sunday is worship. The Castners go to this one place and worship there. As the visitor person, which I was, you will do the sermon your first Sunday there and your last Sunday there. So you're working. You're not just laying around doing nothing. Just chilling back. So mobile Bible school, it's, think of Wednesday night. Except instead of lasting for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, think of 4 hours. Some of these folks have no means of transportation, but their good old feet God gave them. They'll walk for 2 hours, some of them, just to get there. Some of them have, they're fortunate enough, they have a bicycle. None of them have cars. And can you imagine? I mean, there's how many times have we rolled in super late and we literally live like right over there. And here's these folks coming to set for 4 hours. And they may have walked for 3 hours that morning. So think of Wednesday night Bible class. That's what the mobile Bible school is all about. What happens is Dale picks a book and he wants it to be applicable for them. He wants it to be something that they can really chew on. Last year was 1 Corinthians. And boy, did I get the doozy last year. I got the section of chapter 12, 13, and 14, which was now concerning the spiritual gifts. That was educational. To me, it was awesome. This year they did 1st and 2nd Peter, and I got 2nd Peter chapter 3, which I'm getting chills just thinking about it. If you want something to go home this week and chew on and study and meditate and have as your morning devotional, make it 2nd Peter chapter 3. All right, and I'll come back to that at the invitational portion. That's the schedule. So Sunday, here's typically what Dale likes you to do, and I enjoy doing it. I may go a day earlier next year. There's two people have open invitation to come back the entire time the Castners are there. One is Wayne Berger, and I'm the other one. So if nothing changes, and Lord willing, things stay as they are, I'll go over there for the next 6 years. It's just that awesome. What he likes you to do is to get there on Friday. You'll get there, you'll arrive around 12:30, 1 o'clock, and then you go through their version of customs, which is a mess. It's not death anyway. And I didn't want to talk you to death, so there will be pictures coming up soon, I promise. Bible class at 9. It doesn't take us very long to get over there. We leave at 8 and we get over there. It's not that far away. Bible class, and then there is the worship assembly, and the visiting American person does the sermon part. And I'll show you a video of how they sing. It is 1 billion, and that is a real number. It's 1 billion% different than how we sing here. I'm not saying they're using instruments and women are leading. No. It's just different. And you'll see. Gretchen was like, really? I could listen to it for hours. Especially number 202. This is their songbook. It's called a Nimba. And it's number 202. Oh, that's their money. number 202. And I have an English version, though it really doesn't help. But 202, it doesn't help. It's called Euryalia. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord, but it's nothing like anything you've ever heard in your entire life. I promise. Okay. And then afterwards, they'll talk, and maybe the men will need to discuss some business. They leave. And what Dale has added is a young adults that are looking to get married. Young folks, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. And then you just give them advice. Talk to them. That was pretty fun this time. All right, and then Monday, you get up, leave at 8. All these kick off at 9 a.m. Okay, I could have just said that instead of writing it out on every one. Tuesday is the one day off. You need that day off because you get worn out. And it's not just the teaching for the 4 hours. What you do is you teach for 3 hours and then you get an hour of questions. And boy, can they come up with some doozies. Stuff that would blow our minds. Tuesday you're off, but notice Thursday why I have an asterisk. You get up at 6 a.m. so you can get there at 9 a.m. It's a long, long day. So that's the schedule. Now the only thing that's really nice is the Saturday. We leave at about 11:45, get there at 1 because it's in the long way, so it doesn't take that long to get there. But that's the schedule. You're not going to be able to see this. I'm sorry. The color didn't work. But, let's see. Saturday, here's the long way. That's the capital. These are roads, but I use that term very, 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 very loosely. Think of the worst road you've ever been on, and then multiply that times 10. So, okay, Monday, I can't find Monday where we were at, but Tuesday we were here, Wednesday we were there. Oh, I know why, because Wednesday they had a death, so they had a funeral, so my trip, your day off was Monday, and then we kicked off on Tuesday. So, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday's the long one, way up there. Friday, we were over here, and then Saturday in the capital of La Longway. Okay, some picture time. That's a bunch of guys trying to push a bus out of some kind of ditch. You see those buses? There must be like 3 billion of them in this tiny country. I don't know. There's a lot of them. And the roads... That's typical. That's not an exaggeration. You see a lot of this. That must be 20 guys sitting in the back of this Toyota, and they will jam as many people as they can into a vehicle because otherwise, how are they going to get from point A to point B, folks? Walk, or if they're fortunate enough, they have a bicycle. They don't have the bicycle. They're going to hop a ride on one of these. Or, I don't think I got the picture in there. Ah, I'm sorry. They still use the oxen. Katie's back there. She'll tell you the joke about oxen and boxing later. They still use oxen and carts as well. Bicycles. Everywhere. Let me see what this does. Alright, I just wanted to make sure where I was at. Go back. Bicycles everywhere. Next. Anybody, any of the men that can speak up? Want to take a guess what's on the back of his bicycle that's piled up? Firewood. Yep, you'll see them dudes every morning. That's firewood stacked all the way up. Here's the other thing about Malawi. Firewood is a very hot commodity, and it is done on the black market because they've cut down all the trees. They don't practice good agricultural principles like we've put into place in America. I know sometimes we can get aggravated with the EPA and other folks, but there's a reason some of those rules are there, and they actually work. They do work. Some of them. So that guy is on his bike. You see those every day. That's one of the places where we went. The reason I threw that picture in there, see these things right here? And those, and those, and those. Those are holes in the roof. So what do you think it's like during rainy season? They don't care. They do it anyway. Now, two things about this. I love this picture. I wish you could see it better, and I'm sorry for apologizing so much. Number one, right down the middle. Women on one side, men on the other. Elders, you may want to think about doing that. I don't know. Women on one side, men on the other. And in this particular building, the men had the seats and the women sat on the floor. And I mean, they sat on the floor. Now, the men's seats weren't much better. Here's how they make their buildings. They still use mud bricks. Kind of like, remember reading in Exodus about the children of Israel? They still do it over there. Everything is mud bricks. And then they'll make some kind of roof thatch or tin. Hopefully it's a tin roof. It's a metal roof. Because obviously metal will last a lot longer than thatch. They could take care of it easier. And if they're lucky and if they're fortunate, what they'll do is they'll do this cement stucco-like stuff over that brick, and that building will last for quite a long time. But most of them, it's just mud brick. But they still last, but sometimes they'll fall down. But that picture is, oh, the seats. That's why I brought that up. Inside on the floor is this clay-like cement substance. I don't even know what it's called. What they'll do is they'll make a seat. It's a hump. Remember on the school buses? And in that one seat you hated to have to get because it had the hump? That's like those seats. And they are not very comfortable. I sat on one for several hours one time last year. They're not comfy. But they are to the men, I guess, because they get the comfy hump seat. They get the hump seat. And the women, you get the floor. Those are the bricks. I just wanted you to see they're everywhere. Everywhere. Mud bricks everywhere. Everywhere are bricks. What's this picture got to do with the price of tea in China? They're holding up their Bibles. We do not give away. Dale and his operation, which his overseers that support him are down in Nashville at Creve Hall. They do not give the Bibles away. You may be like me, what? You don't give them away? No. Cost them one day's wage. You want to know why? Because people will take those and they'll use them for anything and everything other than studying the Word of God. They'll use them for kindling. They'll use them to patch holes in the roof. They'll use them when they're going to the bathroom. So Dale said, you will pay me 1,000 kwacha. That's what that right there was. To get you 1,000 kwacha, get you a Bible and a songbook. And that way, it's kind of like the kids in high school. The ones that are given the car tend to crash it earlier than those that have to work for their car. It's the same principle. So what they're doing is they're holding up their Bibles so Dale can show the Americans your money is going to buy Bibles and the songbooks. If you have an extra few dollars and you want to help that, I can help set that up for you. These two little boys, Peter and Paul, apparently came to every class the week before and into my classes. Not every week before. They came to every, at this village, they came every time there was class. And so Dale said, I'm giving free. I'm giving you, Peter and Paul, you twin boys, I'm giving you these Bibles for free. And then he looked at the dad and he said, and you study with them. You study with them and you tell them what this book means and how to live by it. Horrible picture. Again, they're just holding up saying, yay, we have Bibles here. See those mats? That's actually a lot nicer than sitting on the humps. It's just hay. If you go to Hawaii, they'll use those on the beach to lay out. It's the same thing. I actually think that's a lot more, comfortable. Bricks again. Oh, I didn't want to show that one yet. I'll come back to that. I love going over there, obviously. You can tell. But I have a couple of fears in life, and one of them are vermin, and in particular, rodent vermins. Very first trip, all along the roadsides, the Malawians sell treats. You know, like we might sell corn dogs, or we might sell a bag of popcorn, or we might sell liquor sticks. I don't know. Maybe that's too old. Not these knuckleheads. Those are rats or mice. They catch them in the morning, they barbecue them, and they sell them on the side of the road. Yummy. No way, actually, I was almost getting ready to say no way, Jose, but last year I did. I was like, no, oh, that's the most disgusting thing ever. This year I was going to do it. But all Sarah was like, no way. You missed that look. But I said, I don't really know what might be in these critters. And my insides might not necessarily be accustomed to what might be in their insides. So better safe than sorry. I was going to do it, but I said I won't do it. So I didn't. It's not that I chickened out. I didn't. Because if you saw the video, you know that I'm not a chicken because I let Gretchen tase me the other night. 3 times. Mice or rats on sticks. But here's the thing. When that's all you got, that's all you got. So, when you can have a snack tonight of Doritos, that's the second time I've mentioned that, bacon, have Dairy Queen or a cheeseburger, be thankful. Be very, very, very thankful. Now, it should be a blank screen. All right. Oh, and one other thing before I finish this up. I was going to show you escape this. I don't know who's wanting to chat with me, but this is driving in Malawi. Oh, that's Stephanie. People and cars and bicycles, and the only thing that this doesn't show are all the goats that you have to weave in and out of as well. Yep. Now, I'm going to play this song. I don't know if it'll do that well or not. Options. How do I turn that off? Come on. All right. Okay, get ready. And this can go on for 5 minutes. Now here's what's happening, is one guy, the guy in the red jacket, he says the first thing. Some of them can't read. Some of them can't afford the songbook. So he says the first part, "Amazing grace, how sweet's the sound." And then they'll do, "Amazing grace, how sweet's the sound. Our God is awesome and He is amazing." And then he'll chant another thing. That's how they sing. And I don't understand a lick of what they're saying, but I get chills up and down my spine. Tears come to my eyes because it's just so beautiful. But even more than that, I think about the day that I'll finally be able to understand what they've been saying. You know, up in heaven kind of a thing, and eternal life, when I'll be like, oh, now it sounds even better. So I wrote myself this note and I lost it. You're not supposed to see that yet. Let's go back to Rat Guy. Okay. Okay. I wrote myself a note. And it said 3 baptisms, 2 sermons, 2 adult classes, or 2 young adult classes, 39 congregations represented. We went to 5 villages, but more than one congregation would come to that village. One village may have 10 different congregations coming there. How many miles we went, helping out the Kastners. I had this whole list of everything I did. Remember that commercial? Tank of gas, $50. Tickets to NBA game, $300. Time with your son, priceless. The end of my list, what I wrote was awesome. If I had my desire, my wish, every Christian would do a missionary trip. If you could afford, if you had the money and your health could do it, every Christian would do one of these trips. It will change your life forever. Maybe one of the trips that Wayne goes on, that maybe you can go with him. Next year I'm hoping to take Gretchen with me. If she can't go, maybe one of you can come. It changes your perspective. It changes your life. My favorite part is I come back just so charged up. I'm telling everybody about Jesus. I'm just fired up about our Lord and about going to heaven and about eternal life and about how scary hell is. And I'm just so, I'm usually like that a little bit, but it's even more. If you get a chance, and even if you have to seek it out, do a missionary trip somewhere. It will change your life forever. Oh, I totally kept forgetting to show you that. This was a gift. This is a traditional, very fancy schmancy, apparently, Malawian shirt. And the guy's name, hold it way up. The guy's name that gave it to me, his name is Gift. That's a popular name over there. But his wife looked at my pictures on Facebook. She said, let me try to figure this out. All right, she went to the tailor. This is handmade. This is real. I would put it on, but I don't. It's a touch. Hopefully in a couple of months it'll be a lot less tight. But now I'm going to give you the invitation. Oh, and I forgot. A lot of times the electricity goes out and we're actually using stuff like this at night. I was going to bring Christy and her family got to see it today. Remember the little house on the prairie, the oil lamps that Laura would use? They actually use those at night because the electricity goes out so much. So be thankful for AC, be thankful for electricity, be thankful that our snack of choice in Stanford is not mice. Invitation. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter is fighting these people who have concocted this story. They're making fun of Jesus coming back. He's not really coming back. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Sounds just like America today. And so this whole thing, this whole letter is a second letter, by the way, that he's writing to remind them about Jesus is coming back. And apparently, he says, not apparently, he says, Paul wrote to you about the same thing. But the verse that gets me is 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 5, for this they willingly forget. There's more than enough evidence out there to prove that there's a God. There's more than enough evidence to prove that this earth is ending. All of our science says it. You can either choose to willingly forget or you can choose to willingly remember this fact right here. For this they willingly forget that by the word of the God the heavens were made, the worlds, etc., and on he speaks. I'm trying to find the verse. But, verse 10, the day of the Lord will come. Jesus is coming back one day, folks. And you can either forget about it and try to make it go out of your mind and just put on the horse blinders. Lonnie, I'm sure you've used those before, breaking horses. Or you can purposefully remember and look at the evidence. But the day of the Lord will come, number one. Number two, it's going to come like a thief in the night. When's it going to happen? Peter says it's like a thief. Thief doesn't tell you when he's going to break in. He doesn't call up, Summer? Is this Summer? Yeah, that's me. Yeah, tonight I'm going to break in your house at 3 o'clock in the morning, so make sure you're not ready, okay? It doesn't happen. They're going to break in. It's a surprise. As a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. I don't know what the end of time is going to sound like, but it's going to be loud. Paul talks about with the trumpet and the archangel and the shout, it's going to be loud. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. First part of the invitation, if you're not a Christian, Jesus is coming back. And you're either ready or you're not. There's no middle ground. If you're not ready, then He's going to catch you by surprise. And unfortunately, you're choosing the door that leads to hell. However, Christians, therefore, since all these things in verse 11, all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God? How excited are you about Jesus coming back? In the morning, do you get up? This is the illustration I used when I was over in Malawi. Second time I went to Korea, I'm coming back on leave, and there's a picture that Gretchen has of the girls. They were really small, but they're standing in the airport, and they're at the window, and they're looking. They're like, is that the plane, Mom? Nope, that's not it. I'm sorry. And they're like, oh, man. Is that the one? Is that the plane? No, babies, I'm sorry. That's not it either. Is that the one? That's him. Oh, I can't wait. Do you do that about the return of Jesus? Is it today, Lord? Are you coming back? And at the end of the day, are you disappointed? Or are you excited that He didn't come because He didn't catch you doing something you ought not to have been doing? And you're disappointed. You're like, oh man, why couldn't it have been today? And you get up the next morning. Is it today? Oh, please, come on. Oh, seriously, come on. Come on. Christians, are you excited? And what was the second part of what He said? Hastening. You know what that means? Lord, You cannot get here quick enough. We talked about turbulence in those planes, and I was talking to Leland, was it? Was I talking to you about the turbulence this morning? And you know what? I can't wait to go be with Jesus. And if one of those airplanes has turbulence and I hit the ground, the girls will miss me, but guess what? I'll be with my Jesus finally, and that's where I want to go be. Where do you want to be? So the invitation is, you can either willingly put it out of your mind and God will let you, but you're choosing the wide door that leads to hell. Christians, are you excited? And if you're not excited about Jesus coming back, there's a problem and you need to repent tonight. Do something. Get excited. Again, your excitement may not be as over the top as mine. It may be more subdued. Nevertheless, when you get up in the morning, here's your challenge. If you were to look on my phone, every day at 7 o'clock I get a reminder now. It says, Jesus may come back today because I want to remember. Maybe you tape it to your mirror. Today may be the day Jesus comes back. Maybe you put it in your truck at the speedometer. Maybe Jesus comes back today. I don't know. But remind yourselves, because it's easy to forget. And we want Him to come back. I hope you do. Any need you have, come forward as we are led in our song of encouragement.